This episode brought to you by Correlation and BankJoy. On the show today, we have South Carolina Federal Credit Union's very own Dr. Troy Hall talking about his new book, Cohesion Culture, Proven Principles to Retain Your Top Talent. And this is a very timely piece of writing from Dr. Troy, so check it out. Welcome to our show, and boy, do we have an episode for you today. We have Dr. Troy Hall from South Carolina Federal Credit Union. Troy, how are you?
Well, I'm doing great. You know, it's really funny that you use that as part of the introduction, because I had a friend ask me one time, he said, when you become a doctor, are you going to make people call you Dr. Hall and be formal? I said, no, they're going to call me Mr. Dr. Sir.
That's a lot to remember. Oh my gosh. Mr. Dr. Sir. Oh my gosh. Well, Troy, you we're going to be talking about this today. You knocked it out of the park with this book, Cohesion Culture, Proven Principles to Retain Your Top Talent, which is actually, this book couldn't have been more timely for what's going on out there right now. As I'm going through, I'm like, gosh, this couldn't have come out at a more opportune time. And did you plan that, Troy?
Gee, wouldn't it have been nice if I could say yes, but yeah. You know, no crystal ball for me.
So
just following the trends of what's happening, and putting to use my background. That's really how the book came about.
Yeah, well, let's get a quick summary before we dive into some of the details here. So give us a quick summary of it. Obviously, it's cohesion culture. Let's bring stuff together. Let's have like-minded alignment, all those buzzwords and stuff. So is this kind of, you give us the summary. You're the expert here.
Well, a cohesion culture is a safe workplace where people have a sense of belonging, are valued, and share in mutual commitments. And when you have that type of a program in place inside your organization, you can have a variety of experiences. Not every cohesion culture is exactly the same, because you have rituals, traditions, yeah, customs, symbols, you know, ways in which you interact with each other. But the fundamental foundation is how we treat people. And that's what the cohesion culture sets up, is the belonging, value, and shared mutual commitment. Mm-hmm. Think of it as a strategic framework, fit it over top of your organization, and then figure out, where are you doing really good work here, or where do you need a little bit more work there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I love how you laid out the book. You laid it out in there are chapters, but it's more acts, like a play or a movie, and that's the theme that kind of runs through the entire book, which I found rather entertaining, and I can relate to it as well, because we all watch movies and we go to plays and things like that. So why did you set it up that way?
Well, I'm a metaphorical teacher and trainer and speaker by nature, and anytime that you can help someone equate something they're doing to a learning objective or an idea, then they can internalize it and actually start to put it together. They'll see the self-discovery much quicker, because it's like, oh, I've been doing that, or oh, I know that, or oh, I understand that. Mm-hmm. And it really just allows that concept. So I took my love for movies and music and really try and dancing, which I'm not very good at, but anyway, incorporated it, because I also didn't want it to be a book that was like, here we are, cohesion culture, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. I wanted it to have some life and to have some energy. I broke it into three acts also, because I didn't want people to feel they were tricked into buying a book. Have you ever been like that, where you bought a book, you think you're going to get stuff, and then you find out you only get the icing, you never got the cake? You know, it's like, I want to make sure people got the cake and the icing and the platter that it could be served on. So the three acts are, the first act is be a leader, the second act is build the culture, and the third act is bring it to life. And it has to always start with leadership, because if the leader isn't right, then it doesn't matter what happens after that, mm-hmm, it's always messed up. So we have to get the leader's mental mindset, get what they're doing right, then they can work on building the culture, and then they can work to bring it to life. And it's all written around transformative principles that focus on someone else first and then self. And it's perfect for the credit union movement, because that's what we do every single day. It's people helping people. It's putting ourselves, it's secondary to somebody else. We put somebody else first and then self. You don't martyr yourself. You don't forget yourself. You just have to remember that's the process.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And so, and kind of the goal of this book is employee retention. And I'm going to bring it back to our current times of what's going on right now with the Great Resignation and what's going on in that part of it. So, and employee retention is really, really important right now. So What can you say on that front as opposed to what's going on right now and how this helps with kind of alleviating that worry or that concern for credit unions? Because this is a real thing right now.
Right. So I think, first of all, if you're talking about the Great Resignation, you have to keep in mind as to, you know, what some caused that to happen. And then you factor that into the decisions that you want to make as to how you want to organize your company. But when you look at cohesion and why those principles are so important,
yeah,
it's because of it's a causal phenomenon. It means that when cohesion is present, you get performance. When you get performance, you get engagement. Engagement is that connection that people have with the organization where their purpose and passion really comes out, and they really can interact with the organization. So, you know, people will make a decision to be with a company for a variety of reasons, but it's the values. Will they align with the values of the organization? So if the value of the organization provides for taking care of people, if it provides for benefits, it provides for flexible work hours and work locations and all those things, then you're meeting some of the minimum criteria, right, to attract the talent.
Right.
Now, to keep it means, you now, how do you treat them? So regardless of where the employee works, is the team treating each other in a way that allows them to feel valued? Still, according to CultureAmp and some of the Shurm reports, the number one reason that people leave an organization is supervisor, further drilled down to now, to inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And to have people, and so belonging, value, and shared mutual commitment actually speaks to diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
There's a lot of information that will be wrapped around that. So I think for me, I know I've been very general, but I only have 10 minutes. It's like,
okay,
if you want to be more specific, reach out to me and I can help you out more specifically. But I think from a general perspective, it is really understanding that the connection between that supervisory leadership level of the organization and the employee is so important, and it has to be right. And you can't take it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter where that employee is located. And you can have remote work and even have people for the same company, but they work in a different city. I mean, I have some clients outside of the credit union sphere that I work with that have individuals who are in Texas, in California, in Arizona, and in Michigan, and their central location is in one of those other cities. So, you know, it's not always just remote work from home.
Right.
It's remote work, meaning that not everybody is under the same roof.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
These principles will apply in all of those cases, and it really does involve the leadership getting it right.
Yeah. And I'm really glad you brought up that point, because that's one of the things that connected me with your book, is that I had that same experience early in my career. It's like, I worked for this wonderful organization, but I couldn't stand my immediate supervisor. I just wanted to find a way out. But what kept me there is like, the organization was great, but the supervisor I had to work for was not so great. And that just, I was like, you know, one foot out the door, one foot in. So I went, oh my gosh, I experienced that very same thing right there. So yeah. So that's that connected.
So what I did is I created an online program called Cohesion Culture Course. It's Cohesion Culture Camp. It actually is a program that goes along with the Cohesion Culture book.
Oh, cool.
That will help organizations have common language, everything grounded, so that they can begin to move forward. And I ask the individuals who take the course the same thing as I do for employees who come into an organization. I need you to do three things. One, first of all, be teachable. Open your mind to new ideas, new things that, don't try to know that you know everything. Don't say, oh, we used to do it like this somewhere else and now you want it to all apply here. Just be open to the new changes.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is, agree you're a leader. Whether you have people reporting to you or not, agree that you are a leader. You make leadership decisions each and every day. And the third thing is, view everything you do and the decisions you make through the lens of a CEO. What would you do if you were ultimately in charge for the organization? And then ground every action you take with this very simple thing. Ask yourself,
mm-hmm.
if you're causing harm to yourself or someone else, should you continue to do it?
Right.
And if you can guide yourself by some of those simple principles, then you yourself as a leader can be right.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be so much easier to get along with people because you're operating under those principles, those philosophies. And in the book, I present 7 attributes of an effective leader that allows people to know, oh, okay, I should do these things. It's all very simple, easy stuff for people to do. It's the rigor, the determination, and the dedication to actually make it happen that makes a difference.
Precisely. And the other thing, one of the things I found there was, what do cohesion cultures have that other organizations don't have? Because you talk about the three attributes: belonging, value, and commitment. So what does a cohesion culture have that other organizations don't?
Well, one of the things they have is they have an increase and lift in creativity and productivity by up to 50%. They've also reduced their turnover. Today, according to Sherm, it's about 50% of a salary is what it costs to replace an individual, specifically someone in leadership. Some of the entry-level positions, it's not obviously going to be that much. But mm-hmm. for anyone who has some leadership or some tenured work in an organization, if you've got 5 years or more in an organization, you take organizational intelligence with you when you leave. That costs the organization money mm-hmm. because now you know things to solve problems and answer questions that the new person doesn't know yet. They haven't had those experiences. Mm-hmm. They have to learn them all over again, and that takes time and that takes money. The other thing is the level of engagement. You don't have to guess anymore. I started off in the beginning telling you that cohesion is a causal phenomenon. It's not correlational. See, we spend a lot of time in leadership making decisions and forecasting on correlational data. There's nothing wrong with that. We're going to continue to do it. But if you truly want to have something that's more predictable, you have to find cause and effect. So cohesion has been isolated so that we know that when cohesion is present, belonging, value, shared mutual commitment, you get performance each and every time. It does not matter. You will always have performance. There's been 4 decades of research that proves it. And engagement is that individual who is motivated, who is energetic, who is excited, who will go the extra mile, who mm-hmm. will teach somebody something, whether it's their job or not, who will take on some extra duty and responsibility to really be more fulfilled in what they're doing in the organization. And, you know, that's what we want. So if that's what you want, instead of trying to do it by saying, well, can I make them happy or can I make them satisfied? Because that's a state of mind. But if I can have them operate in a cohesive environment where all of those intrinsic values have been brought forward and they're being fed every day, mm-hmm. then that person is going to perform. As a matter of fact, there's another bit of research from Harvard. It's Ingram, Bohl, and Kramer's work on the power of small wins. And what they talk about is the progress loop, and they talk about this internal fire that you have. And so it's about feeding, making sure that people know that what they're doing matters, it makes a difference, how does it connect inside the organization, and how a person feels at the end of the day is most likely how they're going to feel when they start the next day. Our intrinsic values is what really feeds us extrinsically. Like, we might be motivated by title or money that we make or by what's our office look like and do we have equipment and do I get access to the boss anytime I want. You know, those types of extrinsic sort of things are nice. But the intrinsic values of what I get when my passion is fully realized, when my purpose is actually being exercised, when I know that what I'm doing makes a difference, then everything happens.
Purpose there, sense of purpose.
Yeah, it's purpose. Well, you know, and Simon Sinek says this, he says that people need to be fulfilled. And so when people are fulfilled, they tend to love their jobs. Mm-hmm. Now that's what he said.
Yeah.
Research then said, when people identify that they love their jobs, and let's make the connection now. Simon Sinek says, when people are fulfilled, they love their job. Research then took it and said, if a person declares that they love their job, they're 87% more likely to stay than to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And this is important for organizations because 63% of their entire workforce is looking to grow, develop, or advance. And if you don't provide the opportunity for them, you're forcing them to go somewhere else to find.
Exactly. Yeah. And man, what a timely message that is right now, for sure.
Yes,
now I want to cover just a couple of really cool nuggets in the book as well. One thing that really fascinated me was further into the book was The Wizard of Oz. You explained The Wizard of Oz, which is one of our favorite movies as well. And you talk about it and watching it as a kid and growing up and all that type of stuff. So what's the Wizard of Oz connection here? Because I loved how you kind of connected it all here. So if you
know. For most everybody listening probably has some idea the Wizard of Oz is, of course, Dorothy, and it's the Scarecrow, the Cowardly Lion, and the Tin Man. And so again, they work together as a team. They become a cohesive team. Yeah. They find a need to belong. They have value in each other, and they have a shared mutual commitment, and that is get the broom for the wizard. Now, that's their task, and they're doing it. And then, of course, what we find throughout the movie is that the task was a little misaligned because the wizard wasn't as powerful as he said he was going to be. I'm sorry I'm ruining for people. It's sort of like anybody who hasn't seen the Titanic, I'll remind them the boat sinks. But basically, you know, it's like those are the things that happen. And much of what occurs at the very end is that those feelings that you need to belong and to have value and to have shared mutual commitments, you actually have them within. That's the whole idea. It's like you already had it all along. Mm-hmm. You just didn't know it. You mm-hmm. just needed somebody to help you point it out. What I want to do is hopefully point it out in a constructive way and not make people chase after a wicked witch to be able to figure out the answer.
Oh, love it. Love it. The other thing that you highlighted in here was mentorship. How important is mentorship in this area? Because I love mentorship. So that's kind of near and dear to my heart. So how important of a role is it in this book?
It's very important. Mentorship should never be underestimated. There should be lots of opportunity for it. As a matter of fact, I really had the privilege many years ago to help create the mentoring program that we use at the Carolinas Credit Union League. When North Carolina and South Carolina leagues were merging, mm-hmm. South Carolina had a little bit of an idea of a mentoring program. A gentleman named Will Crosswell, who was also mentioned in the book, who worked in South Carolina, worked in the state of South Carolina at the time. And he was a winner of a contest for this, young professional. And so what I noticed is that there was not enough leadership development happening for us. We were letting people leave the organization. And so Will and I got together and said, well, let's do a mentorship. Let's track what we do. And then let's provide that to the league. So we did that. And then I've continued to work with the league. We have now had thousands of people who've done this program, not only as a mentor, but as a mentee over the years. And it really augmented our young professional, our CEO Aware Young Professional Protege program. I also took it to another level. I am an international DE. So as a CUDE, my international project was to create a global leadership exchange program.
Oh, wow.
And I did that with an individual from the Philippines. And we created a program that is available and replicable for individuals in the United States as leaders to interact with any leader from any other country and create this program. It was so well received that I received a State House resolution for this project.
Wow,
so
Troy.
Mentorship is very important to me, all documented in the book.
Yep, indeed. I love that section as well. So, and last thing, there's so many. Oh my gosh, Troy, we could be here for a couple of hours easily. But I know you got stuff to do. The other one, I want to go all the way to the beginning of the book in the foreword where Mark Sievright writes your foreword and he calls South Carolina Federal Credit Union a laboratory. So, in a good way, in a very good way. So,
it's a good way. It's a great way.
Yeah. Can you kind of explain why he deems it a laboratory? Because it sounds like you are applying a lot of these principles, if you will, at the credit union to see if they work or not. Because it sounds like it's got to be a lot of fun to try these out and say, hey, let's see if this works. Let's see if this works.
It is, but I want to be clear that the laboratory is being run by the leadership of the organization, not me.
Oh, of course. So, of course.
Right. Right. So the leadership of the organization has worked really hard to create South Carolina Federal as a best place to work.
Seven times
times for the state and three times for Glassdoor being named best place to work. And Scott Woods was named one of the top CEOs in our category in Glassdoor, which is phenomenal. And of course, the Credit Union Journal recognized South Carolina Federal as a national best place to work two or three times as well. So What I really tell you about the laboratory, it's not just that you're testing something for the sake of doing it to see if it'll work and then not doing it at the expense of other people.
Yeah.
But it's a laboratory in that what we know is that taking care of people is important. So how we continue to evolve that taking care of people is what matters. Leslie Norris is our chief human resources officer, and Leslie led a lot of that. I've documented that and talked about that in the book as well. You know, her leadership has really been paramount within the HR area to make a structure, right, to create practices and principles. But it's the leadership of the company that actually has to take it to the next level because, like you said, it's a supervisor. It's that leadership connection that HR can have and want all the wonderful things possible. But if the leaders don't get it right, then they can't fulfill on those promises and those practices and strategies. And that's really what it is. And I think that why laboratory and experimentation is important is I also mentioned this, that Peter Senge has five aspects of a learning organization. And one of them is experimentation. And it means that you are willing to make a mistake if you need to.
Yeah.
But you don't go in it saying, I'm going to make a mistake.
Right.
You are going into it saying, I'm not 100% sure that everything's going to be perfect, but I'm going to try because I'm all about performance, not perfection.
Yeah.
And I think that's really maybe what, you know, Mark meant a little bit about
that. Well, I love that type of environment where, and it's kind of fun too, you know, why can't work be fun as well? You know, so when you're trying new things, like, hey, this is a little bit of an adventure. So I like this, you know? And so yeah, I just love that type of stuff. So really good
Thank
stuff.
You.
Oh my gosh. Oh, there's so much to talk about, Troy. Oh my goodness. Last question for you. Where can folks find it? Obviously.
Well, they can find me at drtroyhall.com. So it's only 10 little letters on social media, anywhere at drtroyhall.
Okay.
And you can find the book on Amazon. It's available on paperback, hardbound, Kindle, and Audible.
All right. Here it is again for you all. Let's get it up there close. Yep.
Thanks. Asian
culture.
Close and personal.
Hey,
Thank
just
you.
In time for the holidays as well. So put this on your Christmas list and get it out there. It's a great stocking stuffer. It's just the right size. So yeah.
Right
so congratulations
size.
On this, Troy.
Thank you. Well, you have to have a big stocking for that to fit, but nonetheless, it will work when you roll it. It'll
if you
be
get
okay.
The pit, you can bend it a little bit.
It's pliable. Yeah, that's good. Yeah,
that'll work. All right, Troy. Well, thank you again for actually writing this and then coming on the show today to tell us a little bit more about it. Yeah, I love it, love it, love it. So yeah, we'll get it out there. I highly, highly recommend getting this book.
Great. Thank you so much for featuring the work and featuring our organization and allowing me to brag a little bit about us being a best place to work.
Why not? Why not? Boast. It's all right. There's nothing wrong with that every now and then.
That's great. Thanks.
All right, Troy. Thank you so much again. Appreciate the time. Well done again.
Thank you.